In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the town of Mankato, Minnesota, there is a church decorated with images of saints and other biblical characters. Numbered amongst those depicted is Martha from today's gospel reading. Conspicuous by her absence, however, is Mary. Now, maybe this says something about the character of Minnesotans, but I would have loved to have been in the room or the discussion where this decision, do we put Mary or Martha or both or none in there? I picture the pro-Martha contingent being in the majority, but I'm sure there were a few rooting for Mary, or at least for including them both. They are sisters, after all. And I suspect, or hope at least, that the debate was vigorous and passionate. And obviously, you know, Team Martha won in this particular case, but I hope that this conversation is still going on in the parish, and perhaps one day they'll put Mary in her rightful place next to her sister. It's all too easy to feel sorry for Martha in this story. We all have some experience of working away on something, on some task that we believe is very important, while somebody else sits idly by. Our frustration grows and grows, and all too often it bursts out in resentment and anger. And of course, this only gets worse if the offending party then turns round and says, I don't know what you're worried about. What you're doing is unimportant anyway. It's also can be easy to feel sorry for Mary. We've all had that experience of sitting quietly paying attention to something or someone, while somebody else is in the next room clanging around doing something that's obviously totally unnecessary. And our frustration grows and grows, especially when we realize that the clanging around is deliberately trying to get your attention, that you should come in here and help you. This too often leads to a building resentment and anger and all-out arguing. And the worst case is when you get the Mary and Martha thing going in the same house at the same time. As anyone who's been to a dinner party where the hosts are starting to argue well knows. Of all the events and stories in the Gospel, the story of Martha and Mary is actually one of the easiest to relate to. When we listen to many Bible stories, we have to imagine what it would be like to be in that place at that time. With Mary and Martha, we've all been there and done that. There's very little even in the text to remind us that this is a biblical story. There's none of the accoutrements, if you were, the images that go with the act of hospitality. If you think of the story of Abraham, Abraham's hospitality in the reading from Genesis this morning, there's all sorts of things that we don't normally do. We don't live in tents. We don't kill fatted calves normally. We don't pour our wine out of calf skins. But in the story of Mary and Martha, we really do see this thing as it happens. You can take the text, this very short text, of Mary and Martha, and word for word, it could describe these events if they happened in your home this afternoon. So because this story is so easy to relate to, so familiar, we can and we do run it through our own experiences. And we start debating the relative merits and demerits of both Martha and Mary's behavior. Some of us, our Minnesotan friends included, will come down on the side of Mary, of Martha rather, and others may come down on the side of Mary. And some may try and be above the fray and say, you need both Marys and Marthas. As long as you have more Marthas than Marys, you're typically okay. But what we appear to have in the story of Martha and Mary is two images, diverging images of discipleship. Martha's discipleship is through hospitality and service. Mary's discipleship is through quiet attention and adoration. And because we filter this through our all too human ways of thinking, we think we have to pick one or the other. And perhaps we do have to pick. We certainly have to pick what to do in any particular moment. Or perhaps, you know, we're just called to be more like Mary or more like Martha. Some of us do seem to become disciplined through hospitality and service, and others through quiet devotion and attentiveness. Some people are called to serve God in soup kitchens, and some people are called to serve God in bare cells in monasteries on mountaintops. Perhaps we should just pick a path and go with it and be at peace with the path that we have chosen or have been called to do. I'd like to suggest that worrying about the difference and whether one's right and better than the other is the wrong way to think about this. It's not a good use of our time. It's not what we do to serve God and His world, but it's how we go about doing what we do that's important. If we don't go about our service in the right way, whatever that service is not discipleship. Let's go back to Martha for a moment. Imagine Martha, who got off on the right foot. She invited Jesus into her house, went into the kitchen, got on with the work, didn't get distracted, didn't start thinking about Mary sitting in the other room, produced a great meal, and served it to Jesus. Do you think Jesus would have complained? No. Only last week we heard Jesus telling the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Service and hospitality is important in our lives. Let's think about Mary. Can you imagine if Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, supposed to be listening to him, was distracted? She's sitting there looking up at Jesus and not paying attention. She's worrying about what's going on in the kitchen and what all that clanging is about. Her act of discipleship has stopped. In both cases, it's not what either of them were doing in these scenarios, it was how they were going about it. I think the critical word in this whole reading is actually distracted. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Martha stops thinking about her act of service and starts thinking about everything she has to do and what her sister is doing. And at that moment, her discipleship stops. Now, it's very easy, especially if you're a member of Team Martha, to take Jesus' words as some kind of rebuke, that you were doing the wrong thing. And they're not. Read them carefully and they are a loving reminder that you really need to concentrate, keep your mind on that one thing. That one thing being a faithful disciple. Don't get distracted from it, and don't go off the path, whatever you're doing, whether you are preparing a meal or you're sitting listening to the Lord. See, being a disciple is kind of an easy thing to do, at least at the outset. There's no bars you have to jump over to become a disciple. You don't. Some are called, but you're not compelled to become a priest or a nun or a monk or a worker in the worst places of poverty in the world. We don't have to turn what we do in our lives upside down. But perhaps we have to change the way we go about doing what we do. So we can be disciples as business people, as lawyers, as homemakers, as caregivers, teachers, computer programmers, construction workers. But it's not what we do, it's how we do it. Now, there are a few things that you probably shouldn't make a living doing as a Christian. Robbing the poor comes to mind. But in general, you can be a disciple through whatever path you choose. The difficult part of being a Christian is not to get distracted from that path and lose sight of why you're doing what it is that you're doing. And it's really, really difficult because we are easily distracted. And boy, are there a lot of things in this world to distract us. Academic studies have shown that we literally have thousands of distractions thrown at us each day. And if you think large parts of our economy nowadays, television, advertising, the internet, are all about trying to get a little piece of our attention, usually to buy something. People talk about the attention economy. And what they're really talking about is the distraction economy. And in the middle of all this distraction, we need to keep our minds on why we're here and why we're doing whatever it is to choose to do. There are many ways of doing this. I'm not going to prescribe one for you, but I will share one that I have found useful. I have found that taking the words that are on the banners in the church, love God, love others, serve the world, and using those as a quiet, short, 6-word prayer at particular moments during the day, perhaps between meetings, can help me center myself and remember that I'm not just somebody who works for IBM. I'm a disciple. And I can work at IBM and be a disciple at the same time. What's important, again, is not necessarily what you do, but it's how you go about it. Our aim here, ultimately, is to be attentive, mindful disciples of Christ in each moment, and to be fully awake in Christ wherever we are. Each week we close our service with the words, let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Let's do that. But let's not worry about whether we have to be a Martha or a Mary or whichever path we've chosen. Let's take our own paths, walk it, and stay on that path without distraction. Amen.